friends. Denny Pruto here with a lesson on kindness, God's kindness, and your kindness. Kindness is really important in our relationships with one another. We should always say please and thank you. That's the kind thing to do. The kind thing to do is to help one another, to help mom and dad with the dishes, to help mom and dad with the house cleaning, to take food to those who are in need, who might be sick or ill, to visit, as the Bible says, the widow and the orphan, to simply be there. It's the ministry of presence. The ministry of presence is a way of expressing kindness. The first thing to understand from the Bible about kindness is that it's a fruit of the Spirit. We read this in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Galatians 5 verse 22. Galatians 5 22 gives us one of the words translated in our English Bibles as kindness. There are at least three other words, and we'll see them as we go through the texts that are before us. And so, kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. Kindness is not a gift of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit are to be exercised. In other words, if we have the gift of teaching, we are to exercise that gift by teaching one another. If we have the gift of mechanical engineering, we are to exercise that gift by designing mechanical things like bridges and building bridges. The fruit of the Spirit is a little bit different. The fruit of the Spirit is that which grows spontaneously out of the Christian life. And so kindness ought to be something that spontaneously occurs in the Christian life, in your life, and in my life. Of course, we also need to learn kindness, because as we'll see, unbelievers do not exercise or do not practice or do not have the fruit of kindness in their lives. If the fruit of the Spirit is kindness, then God is our example. He's our exemplar. He's the one who sets the standard in kindness. Listen to Titus chapter 3 and verses 4 and 5. But when the kindness of our God and Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. The word for kindness in Titus 3, 4, and 5 is the same word we find in Galatians 5, 22. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us. God's active kindness is His desire to save us and His acts of saving us. We could not save ourselves. We are like individuals caught deep in the earth in an old mine where the mine shaft has collapsed and there's no way for us to get out. Those on the outside have to dig their way into the mine shaft and bring us out of that terrible pit. That's what God has to do through Jesus Christ. He digs us out of the terrible pit of sin through Jesus Christ. And as you see from this text, God's kindness does not occur on the basis of deeds which we have done. In other words, kindness is not exercised, is not developed, is not seen. We do not carry out acts of kindness on the basis of the merit of individuals to whom we are kind. We do not act kindly to individuals because they deserve it. We act kindly to individuals out of pure grace. There is no merit in us to deserve the kindness of God, and since He is our example, if we exercise kindness, there is no merit in others deserving of our acts of kindness. In fact, it's completely the reverse. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy. Acts of kindness and mercy, acts of kindness are acts of mercy. They are not dependent upon the merit or whether or not an individual is deserving of that mercy. Thank God that He extends to us mercy, even though we are not deserving of that mercy. Ephesians 2:7 pursues this same idea. So that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness. God's grace is rich. When I think of richness, I think of savoring chocolate that melts in my mouth, and I just go, wow. The kindness of God comes from the richness of His grace. And when God is kind to us, our response is, wow. And we ought to be kind to others out of the richness of the grace that is in our hearts. And the response of others will then be, wow. You see, grace does not wait for merit. Grace does not wait for an individual to be deserving. No, this will never be the case. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Or do not think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance. Now there are two different words that the Apostle Paul uses in this particular text. The first one is the same word that he uses in Galatians 5:22 for kindness. The second one is a little bit different, but it's translated the same way, the kindness of God. You see, God is the example, and His kindness is then communicated to us. It is given to us as a grace by the work of the Spirit. This is why kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. Now listen to this text again. Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience? You see that same word riches here. There is a richness in the kindness of God and tolerance and patience. The words kindness and tolerance and patience are three words connected by and they refer to one thing. And we may translate it this way, the tolerant and patient kindness of God. In other words, kindness is tolerant. It is forbearing. It does not jump on another person immediately because that other person has not done something in exactly the same way we would do it. Kindness is patient. Kindness waits and understands that individuals must learn new tasks, and we must allow them space to learn those new tasks. They will not, as I said, do things exactly the way we would do them. They will do them in their own way, and they will learn to do them in their own way. And we must exercise forbearance or tolerance and patience. Listen to what the text says about the kindness and forbearance and patience of God. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? As God exercises a tolerant, forbearing, patient kindness, he is giving you room for repentance. Because you don't learn immediately the precepts of Scripture and how you ought to act before God, you need time to digest what the Scriptures have to say, and you need time to gain understanding, and you need time for conviction to be worked in your heart, and for the truth to come to the fore so that you actually do turn around and change. God exercises great patience and kindness toward you, giving you room for repentance. You need to do the same thing for others. You need to give them space to repent and to change. Kindness is tolerant and forbearing and patient. Romans 11:22, behold then the kindness and severity of God. To those who fell, severity. But to you, God's kindness, if you continue in his kindness, otherwise you will be cut off. Here's the same word that is understood to be a fruit of the Spirit. Behold the kindness and the severity of God. The severity or the judgment of God comes against those who have fallen, who do not repent of their sins, and therefore they are worthy of judgment. The kindness of God comes to those who see the light and turn to God and are repentant. And you must continue in this kindness of God. You must recognize how kind and generous and forbearing and patient God is to you. And when you realize how patient and forbearing and tolerant, how kind God is to you, you will continue in that kindness and you will express that kindness to others. And so God himself is our example. He is the exemplar, as I put it. Believers, then, are exhorted to be kind and to display kindness. Since kindness is a fruit of the Spirit, and we are to walk in the Spirit, then our lives should spontaneously display the fruit of the Spirit. Now, this is not always the case, and so we must be conscious about our lives, and we must look at our lives to see whether or not we are genuinely displaying the fruit of the Spirit. Colossians 3:12 says, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, same word as the fruit of the Spirit, humility, gentleness, patience. You see the words that are packed together here? To those who have been chosen of God. Has God chosen you out of the mass of fallen humanity? Has he given you the gift of the Holy Spirit? Are you a beloved child of God? Then put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You see, if you are kind, you will be compassionate toward one another. You will embrace others who are less fortunate than you. And even though you might not live as they do, because they live not an evil lifestyle, but they have a different standard of living than you have. Even though they have a different standard of living than you have, you will reach down to them. God has reached down to you. You will be humble in their presence, and that means you will serve them. You will be glad to serve them, and you will be gentle and patient with them. You see, kindness involves compassion and gentleness and patience. You will be patient with those who are sick and ill, and you will be kind to them by taking them food and refreshment and your prayers and, as I said earlier, your presence. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4, 5, and 6. In everything, you see, here again, Paul packs together kindness with several other attributes. In everything, commending ourselves as servants of God. We must be servants of God. In much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distress, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger. Here is the negative side, and there will be many troubles and trials that we may go through as the servants of God. But now here's the positive side of service: in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love. You see, patience and kindness, once again, linked together. It's supremely unkind to be impatient with someone. And, for example, if a teacher receives an assignment from one of his or her students and says to the student, "Well, it's about time." That's not exercising kindness. That's not displaying kindness. That's displaying impatience with the student. And so we must display patience, and we must display purity. We must live in holiness before God. God is holy, and we must be holy as He is holy. And in His holiness, although He may judge us immediately, God is patient with us. And so, as we may immediately judge our children for something they do wrong, no, we are patient with them, and we bring them along and encourage them. We exercise patience along with our kindness. 1 Peter 2, verses 2 and 3. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. This is the second word for kindness. The second word that Paul uses in Romans 2:4, not knowing the kindness of God leads to repentance. You see, if you have tasted this kindness of God that has been supremely patient with you, and you've realized your sins, and you've turned back to God, then what will you do? What will be an evidence in your life that you have tasted the kindness of God? Well, you will, as Peter says, long for the pure milk of the Word. You will enjoy the teachings of the Bible. You will love to read the Bible and memorize the Bible. And when your parents ask you to learn a particular text of the Bible, you will not be impatient with them, but you will exercise kindness and learn those texts of the Bible. 2 Peter 1, 5, 6, and 7. Now for this reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. Now here is a third word for kindness. It is the word from which we derive the idea Philadelphia, or the name Philadelphia, brotherly love, brotherly kindness. And Paul packs several concepts together with this idea of brotherly kindness, self-control, perseverance, godliness, knowledge, moral excellence. You see, all of these things go together. And especially self-control. Self-control, which is another fruit of the Spirit. Self-control really amounts to God-control. And brotherly kindness really amounts to the kindness of God being worked out in each of our lives. And so the idea here is that we are kind to the other members of the body of Christ, to our other brothers and sisters. Acts 9:36 gives us an example of kindness. Now in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated in the Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding in deeds of kindness and charity, or love and mercy. Here, the word love in the New American Standard Version is translated kindness. And I think if you have the English Standard Version, it's translated love. But love and kindness go together. If you are a loving person, you are kind to those around you. You are kind to your siblings, and you assist your siblings, your brothers and sisters, and you will encourage the younger ones, and you will receive words of wisdom and correction from the older ones. This is the kindness and the love that should be discernible in the life of the Christian. And so, believers are exhorted to be kind and to display kindness. Unbelievers may or may not display a form of kindness. This is quite striking, it seems to me. Remember that we do believe in general revelation, and we do believe in the general work of the Holy Spirit, that God will work in the hearts and lives of those who do not follow Him. And there's a form of kindness that develops even in those who do not follow Jesus Christ. When Paul and his party were shipwrecked, Acts 28:2 says, "The natives showed us extraordinary kindness. For because of the rain that had set in, and because of the cold, they kindled a fire and received us all." The natives on the island upon which the party, along with Paul, was shipwrecked, showed the seafaring party kindness by building a fire so they'd have warmth and receiving them and helping them. The word for kindness here is philanthropy. In other words, you have a love for men. You have a love for humankind. You have a love for humanity. And you give to the help of others. That's the meaning of a philanthropist. A philanthropist is a person who has a great deal of money and therefore gives a large amount of money to various charities. in order to help out other individuals. We call that philanthropy, and that's the idea of kindness that is used in Acts 28:2. And so there's a kind of charity and kindness that is exercised by unbelievers. Romans 3:12 says, however, all have turned aside, together they have become useless. There is none who does good, there is none, not even one. There is not one doing kindness. You see, kindness is, in this sense, and this is the word that Paul uses when he mentions the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is kindness. And this form of kindness, which comes out of the patience and the love of God, the forbearance of God, and the tolerance of God, this form of kindness is not exercised by unbelievers. They will be able to give charitably to others for their help, and we call that philanthropy, but this kindness, which is a fruit of the Spirit, is different. And Paul says that there is not even one among unbelievers who exercises, who shows or displays this kind of kindness. And we see this in the unbelieving world. Children at school are exceedingly unkind to one another. And there's a lot of talk about bullying in school. And the bully is exceedingly unkind to his or her classmates. And in the business world, there are those who are exceedingly unkind to their fellow employees and employers who are exceedingly unkind to their employees. They expect a lot out of their employees, but they never extend to them a word of thanks or say to them a job well done. They say in return to an assignment accomplished, well, I'm glad you finally saw that you needed to get that done. And they're sarcastic and denigrating to their employees or fellow employees. But kindness says, thank you. I'm glad you did a good job, and I appreciate your work. And so, friends, kindness is terribly important, is it not? Kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. And God Himself is the example of kindness. His kindness toward us involves tolerance and patience and grace. We, therefore, need to exercise tolerance and forbearance and grace and patience. We need to be slow to anger, and we need to be slow and wise in the words that we say, and not be sharp-edged in our comments toward others, and especially toward others in our family or in the church. Believers are therefore exhorted to be kind and to display kindness. And finally, unbelievers may or may not display kindness. I remember when I was going through my ordination exams, the minister who helped me through my ordination exams in the Congregational Church was very, very liberal. And he denied the atonement. And he denied that Christ had to die and suffer to pay for our sins. He denied parts of the Bible. He said to me, for example, I would leave out in your statement of faith ideas that you get from Romans 13 about civil government. I think the Apostle Paul was wrong in his statements about civil government. And so he did not believe parts of the Bible. But this man was very generous and helpful and loving and kind to me. I've rarely met a man who was so generous and kind to me as an individual and so helpful to me. And this is an indictment. This is an indictment to me and to my life. You see, I need to display the fruit of the Spirit, which is kindness. I need to see that God Himself and Jesus Christ Himself is my example, and He gives me the Holy Spirit to change my life, that I might be tolerant and forbearing and patient and kind, and always say thank you and please and be appreciative for the work of others, and that I should sign my letters, your fellow servant, Denny, and mean that I am a servant of Jesus Christ. So it is with each one of you, my friends. Kindness, the kindness of God, and your kindness is a witness and a testimony that you indeed are a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ the Lord. Display the fruit of the Spirit, which is kindness. Thanks for listening.